Welcome to Floating NFT Podcast. My name is Xiaowen.
Hey, I'm Shard Oolong Owl. Special Oolong Owl, guest. Yeah.
You said yourself. Great. I don't need to say anything. And we have our co-host Noah here too.
Hello, I'm the co-host. Special co-host.
I guess then I'm the special host. We just had our age donding, so feel pretty hyper right now, which is good. And now we are going to drink a lighter tea, which I think is great for autumn. I'm not sure if the broth will be good for autumn, but the dry leaves look like it's awesome autumn tea. Because this year the leaves look extremely large, and then currently it's tied up in a bag, and we are going to transfer it into the foil bags. But if you look at that bag, it feels like we just sweep the leaves from outside and then put it in the bag for compost.
Yeah, because it has that brittle, big, multicolored fall leaf look.
It's seriously, it looks like
autumn. It's beautiful, though. It's beautiful. This year's leaves are, I feel like it's bigger, juicier looking.
This is the prettiest one in like three years.
The first year you carried it, it was really pretty.
And then it went kind of smaller, and this year it came back again. Yeah, so let's see how this one tastes like compared to the last seasons.
Yeah, your red peony is one of my favorite white teas. Really?
Have you tried this one yet?
Not this year.
Oh, nice.
But I try it every year.
I know.
And well, first year I bought a lot. I think I cleaned you out.
I hope it's good. Because today I'm kind of in a playful mood. I'm using a wood fire teapot to brew this
that we usually
white tea.
Use for dongding.
Yeah, we normally use the wood fire pot for dongding tea and see how the white tea will show up. So if it's not very good, then we'll just transfer it into a gaiwan.
Are you going to blame me? Because I said I steep my white teas in like zhong shui teapots.
Oh, okay, cool. So it should be okay, right?
Yeah.
And I use pretty hot temperature for this tea too.
Oh yeah, what do you do?
I usually boil. Sometimes I'll do 200 Fahrenheit, 93 Celsius. Depends on the white tea.
So still pretty hot for white tea.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing that I use. The North American tea sellers push is like, oh, white tea's delicate. You should steep it like a green tea.
But not really.
Like, it doesn't taste like anything if you do that.
Yeah.
So I think that's why sometimes white tea isn't popular, because it's treated not great. Then you don't have great white tea, so it's not good. But this one is good.
It's actually really hearty, though.
Yeah. Mm. It's got a really fruity, floral scent.
Mm. Also, this year, this particular red peony white tea has more of that Ruby 18 varietals minty. Smell. Last crop almost doesn't have any of the minty.
Yeah.
More fruity last year.
Yeah, more fruity. Darker feeling.
Oh, wow, that is minty.
Huh?
Yeah,
Very minty white tea.
Yeah, it's
and very
the
soft. Yeah, very soft white tea.
I think so far this is the softest one.
Yeah,
and
this
the
is
smoothest
the,
one.
Yeah, this is the smoothest red peony white tea that we have carried so far.
Yeah, I think the first year I bought it was that 2016. That one was very floral.
Yeah.
A little bit of mint. Mm-hmm. Then I think the year after it was very fruity.
Yeah.
And the cake you have is super, super fruity.
It smells like fruit leather. When I open it up, it seriously smells like I opened up fruit leather.
And this is, really soft and pretty minty.
Yeah. I like it. I like this one. I feel it's texture-wise slightly higher quality than the last crop. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think when we talk about minty in this type of tea, it's not like you're drinking like chewing gum. It's like that feel, like that clean, cold feeling in your mouth.
Yeah.
Almost like that mentholated feel.
Yeah.
So it's a minty feeling, not a minty taste.
Yeah. And then this is a white tea that is produced in Taiwan. And then their outdoor withering is way heavier than the across the water from Fujian style. So if you are drinking this white tea, you might feel like, wait a second, is this a white tea?
Because the broth is like almost orange.
Yeah. So you might not actually feel very familiar to compare with the traditional Fujian style of white tea. Or other way that to look at it, if you say, well, I don't like the Chinese Fujian white tea because it is so light, then maybe give this one a try. Mm-hmm. You will, for sure, you will taste more flavor. And body-wise, I thought the Chinese Fujian white tea, if you brew it correctly, that broth is also extremely soft. But this one, just the flavor is on the stronger side compared to the Fujian style white tea. So give it a try to see if you like this style of white tea that tastes completely different. Mm.
Mm-hmm. The body feeling is really nice too.
Mm-hmm. Actually, quite a strong white tea, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. That was good. I'm very happy.
Excellent.
My wallet will not be happy after this.
Yeah, this year when we met the merchant to sell us this tea, he was really happy with the quality. Mm. Yeah, he's pretty straightforward with tea to us. When he's excited about a tea, he will just keep telling me that. I remember last year when I bought a different tea from him, he just keeps saying that tea, Miss Thai, isn't this tea good? It's really hard to find a tea this good. That's why I just keep saying that. Very sweet man. What were you about to say?
Hmm? I'm probably just going to talk about... Oh! Last season, the energy in the body was a little bit on the strong side. Mm. And then after we pressed it in a cake for a while, it smoothed out. And I really like how it feels now in the cake. Mm-hmm. But the loose one was a little bit... at least for my body, a little bit too much of that kind of white tea, green tea kind of
strong yeah.
caffeine feeling. Yeah. This one, it's also pretty strong, but it feels a little bit more complete already without the aging mm-hmm. on top of that.
And then maybe sometime in the future, we'll try to press another crop of red peony cakes. But before we... really have time to seek out those people because I apologize to everybody that our last previous pressing was pretty hard. It's really hard to take.
It's thin though, so you can still like snap it like a cookie.
Yeah, you snap it. It's a cookie. It's not even a tea cake, it's a cookie.
It's a tea cookie and you just like snap a small chunk to brew that tea, okay? It's very easy to accidentally put too much of that tea to brew.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. You have to underleaf that one. It gets where it's pretty strong.
Yeah, pretty strong. That's what happened to me many times until I figure out, oh, wow, I put this much leaves. Whoa.
Yeah, if I'm with like compressed white tea, it throws you off because white tea is so voluminous when it's loose. So
yeah.
You're still using a bit less because you're still filling the pot, but mm-hmm. weight-wise. But then the compression makes it concentrates it. And you look like you're putting a little bit in, but you're still...
But then it puffs up.
It puffs up.
Yeah, it puts so much leaves in there.
Yeah, it's like a dark, like mustard yellow color.
Yeah, really beautiful. Seriously, autumn color.
Yeah.
That orange mustard yellow color. Pretty.
It's not like, say, yeah, Fujian silver needle, and it's like lightly tinted.
Mm. Yeah.
This is dark.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously soft.
Yeah. But the minty effect more concentrate on mm-hmm. the first infusion, huh? First infusion, really obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's pretty balanced really between the floral and the fruity end of it.
Yay. We are really happy with this current crop of this red peony. And then look up. That's how much we got.
I know. I'm taking a stock note here. Kind of like back in like 2016 when I bought you guys out. I was just always in here watching how many bags you had and calculating how many more bags should I buy. It's terrible to store that much tea as a consumer, but I'll do it.
But this tea, I think a lot of white teas seem to be able to be stored for quite a while. And it doesn't really like go less stale. So...
Yeah.
Maybe I would not encourage you to store it for, like let's say 3 years. They might hit a point.
I have a 1980s white. It's good.
Yeah, I know. But if you only have that volume to last three years, then like that second to third year might actually go a little bit stale. You got to push it past those eras. Yeah,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, usually like after a year, it gets a little stale. Then you have like that awkward teenage nasty phase.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it switches.
Yeah. So, but I think this tea to keep it for a year should be not much of a problem at all. It should perform very well. Whew, a strong white tea.
I bet even if you vacuumed it, it would last for a couple years and maybe even start to age a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, I've had those ones that are about 2 years that are still pretty fresh.
Mm.
But yeah, it's like very airtight.
Is it starting to hit that kind of teenage feeling a little bit or not?
It's
so much?
Getting there, but it's still drinkable.
Mm.
But yeah, I think the importance is making it airtight.
Yeah, totally. Mm.
And this red peony white tea in the wood fire pot actually show up
really nice.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love wood fire pots.
I need to get more of those. The one I have is just a pour pot. It's a really good pour pot, but I need it for all my other teas.
Yeah. You have that small cute one,
the little
right?
black one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She got a really cute one.
That one is awesome.
And then isn't it was made by the son?
The son of Chen Mingtang, yeah.
Of this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
There's something about that teapot when I drink it. Yeah, the aroma is stronger and it gets me tea drunk quicker.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know what it does.
More energy.
Yeah.
Because one time I don't know why I was just in the mood for that, and then so I brew one tea. It's the same tea in a pot. I don't remember which pot I used.
It was an Yixing pot.
Yixing pot. Yeah. And then, but don't make me wrong, I love a good Yixing pot, okay? And then I brew the same tea the next day because nowadays I like to brew the same tea consistently for many days in a row. So I brew the same tea the next day and I just brew it in a wood fire pot. And I notice I feel more energy through the wood fire pot. But I thought, well, there might be just a misguided feeling because there might be today I feel more energy generally speaking, so not sure. And so I did it again, and just that wood fire pot just with the exactly the same tea show more energy. And I was like, wow, this is really fun. I'm totally an addict now to the energy, so I'm going to put a lot of teas in there. Not all the teas. I still like my more of my charcoal roasted teas in the wood fire pot. Yeah, super fun that way. So do we want to stop or...
Maybe take a break.
The weed whacker. is he blowing?
He's blowing.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll just drink the third infusion and take a break.
Hopefully he doesn't come on this end.
Probably. What is it?
He's the blue sweater.
Oh! Wow, they're loud, huh?
That is good. How much is a bag?
Half of a bag?
Not that full bag, but one of your vacuum bags.
Like, you will have it forever.
I think if I came home with that, my husband would have questions.
Yeah. He'll be like, did you sweep out our driveway?
Yeah. Ooh, you got 5 ounces.
Yeah. I just packed it up couple days ago. Yeah, for you.
Yes.
The bag is so big.
I thought this was like the 10 ounce.
Yeah,
bag.
It's the same size
it
as the 10
like
ounce.
Coconut.
What?
Oh, do you use coconut?
Yeah.
It doesn't smell like coconut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like sweet coconut.
Yeah. Wasn't my hand lotion or anything.
Yeah, mine smells like that too.
Jeez, 5 ounces. Though I think when I bought that the 2016, it was like 2 ounce bags.
Yeah, we were doing 100 gram bags before, but I like to keep the sizes more consistent, but it is a huge bag. To fit 5 ounces of this tea, it's so fluffy.
Metric in me is just freaking...
150 is actually 150 grams.
Okay.
So
that's not much.
I say 5 ounces, but it's actually we pack 150 grams.
Yeah.
Because that's the Taiwanese size.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really fluffy.
Also pretty good. This one I brew much longer. Just that it's soak a little bit longer.
A little dry, but...
Huh, a little bit dry, huh? After I soak it this long.
Yeah,
but not bitter, though.
No, it's not bitter. Mm. It sips in really smooth.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why the person said that it has a lot of caffeine, but I think white tea has... I don't know why.
Yeah,
white
that's
tea
the
has
other,
caffeine. It's a misnomer. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's the other stupid myth I see. some unknowledgeable.
White tea doesn't have caffeine.
Yeah, it has less caffeine. It's got could have a lot of caffeine.
Yeah, because it's more tips, buds, right?
Yeah, there's tips in there, and those have. And this tea is the least processed.
Yeah.
So it's going to have like full impact caffeine.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where that came from. Maybe just because it's light and people associate the light color with less caffeine.
Yeah.
The thing is, it depends on what people can feel.
Totally,
yeah. Yeah, like do they also feel a lot of energy from the tea? Because nowadays what I'm feeling more is actually the energy, not the caffeine anymore.
Yeah.
Because I drink tea all day long. I mean, not a lot, but like some tea has more impact on me, and I don't think those teas generally have more caffeine. Like, does poor tea has more caffeine?
Mm.
I don't even know. People can do a research, but I always got impacted by poor the most because poor tea is the most strong, energetic tea to me.
Yeah, and then you can drink a cup of coffee, and like, there's definitely more caffeine in
but
a cup of coffee.
Coffee really doesn't do a thing to me.
Yeah,
nowadays. Yeah.
For me, it makes me feel kind of hot and sweaty, but it doesn't make me feel like I'm super caffeinated. I feel like I'm still sleepy after I have a cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah,
I have to have tea before I start to wake up.
Yeah, I do a shot of matcha in the morning.
Yeah, that'll wake you up.
Two if it's a really bad morning.
Jeez.
That's how I wake up. Wake up jittering.
Yeah.
Is he still blowing this? How long is he going to blow this?
I'm still recording.
You're still recording.
Yeah, it was pretty quiet that stretch.
Yeah. So I can still cut things together a little bit.
Yeah,
it's going to be a couple of long sessions in the laptop studio for me.
Huh.
With a lot of cutting and stuff, but that's fine.
Cool.
It's more time that I can spend eating pastries.
Yeah, you go to a coffee shop, drink coffee, do his editing,
eat a pastry or two.
Yeah, because here we always get interrupted. Depends on who come in and
like
stuff.
You know, if someone comes in and I'm just like, oh, so what about then? I always want to tell them about stuff, but then I leave my post.
Yeah, there's the podcast. One of my favorite ones to listen to is this guy. He biked across Japan, like from north to southern Japan.
Oh,
and he vlogged and podcast throughout it, and he's doing this to lose weight. And he said he gained more weight after because he spent 6 months editing all this footage. And his podcast, and he sits in the cafe eating snacks and editing.
Yeah.
And he's like, I gained all the weight back. Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Japanese food, huh? Yum. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm, now there's more caramel after they cool down.
Mm.
More like caramel sweetness, which I normally... feel a little bit like caramel sweetness or sweet potato kind of sweetness in Ruby 18.
Mm-hmm.
Taiwan doesn't, when they talk about, so for those of you who are listening out there, you'll be like, what is Ruby 18? Ruby 18 is a specific Taiwanese bread varietal from the Tea Reform Institute. And I believe it's an Assam plus a local Taiwanese plant.
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
You gotta ask Tillerman because he's really into those different species.
Oh, cool.
But it's a different...
I'm pretty vague on those
things. It's getting confusing because you're adding more and more numbers and they're all different crosses.
But I believe it's actually a breed between an Assamica varietal of Camellia sinensis.
Yeah. Oh.
And then Camellia formosica or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like a Taiwanese species of
sancha, maybe.
Yes, it's called sancha.
Sancha, Taiwan sancha. And then the specific Camellia assamica or assamica camellia. Sorry to forgive me on this.
That's actually a cult. It's a varietal.
Cool.
Like
I think this specific one was from Myanmar, so it will be
Myanmar. Or Burma.
Burma. Okay, yeah. Not from India. I believe if I remember it correctly. And anyway, so this varietal, traditionally, it was more known as made into a black tea. And then in Taiwan, when they describe the flavor profile, of course, they huge minty effect. And then the flavor they describe is actually cinnamon. But I never could taste cinnamon in a Ruby 18 black tea so far. All I taste is more like on a roasted sweet potato, and sometimes like the caramel sweetness will show up. And so today I think the cool down broth has a little bit of the hint of the caramel sweetness to me. So let's see if the next infusion, what it unfolds. So this will be number four. Number three, we were just chit-chatting, waiting for the leaf blower to pass by us without recording the sound.
Leaf blower isn't a guy out there blowing the Seattle leaves, not us blowing on the leaves.
Oh, okay.
Your Ballard location is very action-packed outside.
Yeah, that's true.
Very busy location.
So if you're in the area, you should highly stop by. It's a great area here. Food's really good.
Yeah.
This tea is making me hungry, unfortunately.
Uh-oh.
I think it's just that high caffeine and energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tea does that.
Mexican food. I'm kind of hungry for tacos now.
What? You brought food.
I know. I want to eat both. Beef stew and tacos.
The beef taco. Or beef stew taco.
Beef stew. Beef stew with tacos on the side as an appetizer.
I mean, they've been putting random things into tacos lately.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah, we made pot roast. We made pot roast taco.
Like, a Korean food taco is pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
That actually works.
I had a pho taco at the night market in Vancouver.
What?
Pho?
Pho, yeah.
And the noodle?
Yeah. They had the broth flavor and the meat and the cilantro in the taco.
I bet it's actually pretty good.
It was really good. Mm.
Oh.
Sounds good.
So every time when we do a tea session, we always will talk about food
towards the end
because everybody's getting so hungry.
But I feel it wasn't our last tea we drank. It wasn't that, because it's like a real, that Dongding was a really hearty tea.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It drinks like a meal. This makes
it's
you hungry.
It's more like, yeah. Somehow it's more like appetizing kind of a appetite stimulating tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some tea has a lot of that.
This could be your aperitif tea.
Aperitif.
Aperitif is for the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And then the Dongding could be like your digestif.
Yeah, it's normally digestif more darker. It's darker.
I know that
I
I've
don't
had,
even know. I don't know those things. I don't
I've
drink.
Had digestifs that are darker. I don't know if it's a rule.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Should look it up.
Seems like a lot of times the bitterness is a different way when you have it for the beginning of the meal or end of the meal.
Mm.
Like, I think... I'm not going to get into it because I don't really know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we don't drink too much to know those things. So maybe we should do a little bit of research.
Oh, we should bring a mixologist in here.
Oh, here you go.
That'd be kind of fun.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So if you're a mixologist in Seattle and you're like, hey, I like to listen to this podcast. I like to drink tea.
And I like to mix drinks. Come on up.
Yeah, that'd be fun to talk about.
Yeah.
Mix us some drinks.
And then, you can tell us the things that we don't know. That'll be fun rather than us just making
it up. So what infusion are we on this?
I think at least four.
Four? And it looks like copper.
Still beautiful color.
Still beautiful.
Huh? Beautiful. That orange, yellow color.
I think if you served it to someone without them knowing what it is, they'll think it's like a black tea. Maybe the first steep or a few steeps in.
And the fourth infusion, the broth is really solid. And then the caramel sweetness, that is now inside of the cup, even without it cooling down. Still very solid.
Oh, yeah, this is a very sweet infusion.
Yeah. Yum.
Sweet, but not the kind of after sweetness of the brewed out tea. It's like it's like a very solid sweetness.
Yeah, the tea broth, the broth is still very, very solid.
Yeah.
Since the sweetness just about to show up, let me push for one more just to see if you can withhold five infusions.
Oh, no problem. This tea can brew so many times. Seriously. I was brewing this tea for a couple of people that came in the other day, and I usually don't brew more than three infusions for, tasters when they come in here, because I just want them to be able to drink maybe three different teas so they can compare and not get overloaded with caffeine. But I just, something in me wanted me to push it, and I probably brewed it seven times. And when I do it at the tea festival, I brew it probably 15 times.
Whoa.
I do use a lot of leaves, but I brewed a lot of times.
And the empty cup, there's sweet potato.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, that's sweet potato.
The roasted style.
It's like a solid fall tea, but it's a spring white tea.
Yeah, so weird, huh? Mm. Thanksgiving is coming up. Use this tea rather than gaba oolong, because the double whining will really make you pass
knock
out.
You out.
Well, this will like wind you up so you can cook your turkey.
Here you go.
And here fight with everyone, and then yeah, you got the
enjoy your time with everyone. Stay awake with everyone during the wonderful turkey or whatever feast. If you are vegetarian, whatever Thanksgiving feast
the
that
tofurkey.
You have, yeah. This will be a perfect tea for that, mm-hmm. because I always say to people that like the gaba, my gaba oolong remind me of like Thanksgiving meal, but I thought it's a really bad idea to eat turkey and the gaba oolong.
Oh, that'll just put
that.
You out.
Yeah, that would just be like you would just pass out in the middle of the meal. And this one would really lift you up. So consider this red peony white tea with your like just like oolong, I would say, drink it before you start the meal and you will have energy throughout the whole day. So fun. Perfect tea combination.
Yeah, a lot of times I start like a young, fresh white tea as a party starter.
To give you energy.
Yeah.
Huh.
So one time it was a bad idea because I think...
Too much energy.
Yeah, we had hors d'oeuvres and then people went and decided, oh, let's drink this white tea Owl has in her... like dungeon. And then they were like, then all of a sudden I came in and everyone was like really caffeinated and wired up. And I'm like, hey guys, how's the party going?
White tea can have a lot of energy.
Yeah, it can have a lot of energy.
Yeah, I had a, I don't know, a 15 or 18 year old white tea in Taipei. The gentleman who sold me this tea have a small bag of it. He's like, Miss Tai, would you like to drink an old white tea? It's very rare and very expensive. I said, okay. And I drank it. I was like, wow, white tea can be this strong. Energetic. The broth is still, you know, not super heavy, but the energy was quite nice. Mm. I was super impressed with the aged white tea. No wonder people go crazy over aged white tea nowadays. Oh. Yeah, super good. And you can also use this one to age it to see if it will go for that kind of a wonderful aged white tea sensation. Earlier we did mention that we had a 2017 crop that we pressed into the a cake form, and we already see the energy sinking quite, not sinking in a bad way, sinking in a good way. Super fun to have that project. And so in the future, we should do more of this, like press a good crop into a cake.
Yeah.
And see how the energy grow and develop.
Yeah, I'm like looking at that 5-ounce bag and how big it is compared to your cake.
Cake, yeah.
It's really tiny.
Yeah.
They seriously just press the heck out of the thing. Yeah. So see if we can find another person to see if they can, or they can just loosen it up just a little bit. Mm. Next time, don't press it as tight. I think it will actually help a tea drinker to brew the tea a little bit more on the easier side. Yeah.
Yeah, I collect a lot of white teas to age, and I almost prefer the loose, but it's the storage is such a nightmare because it's so big.
It's so big. Yeah. It takes up so much space. Yeah.
Do people age like silver needle, like really bud heavy white teas also?
Yeah, I've had a 90 silver needle. Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
But it's more common to age the
usually shomai. Shomai usually the more, I guess, because it's cheaper, right?
Mm.
But it already, the tea is already starts off dark, so you kind of that jump start into that dark flavor.
Oh,
This one also lighten up a little bit. Fifth infusion,
Still minty.
still minty. Carry on for white tea. This lasts very long. Excellent tea.
Mm. I'm
very
serious. Good. This tea lasts a super long time. It's not even maybe even compared to High Mountain Oolong, it'll last longer.
Longer than how many brews? That High Mountain Oolong for Kung Fu style, I generally do 5. Because after 5, I feel like a lot of flavor and stuff start to go off too much. And this one, after 5, is still pretty solid.
And this type does really good grandpa style. Or sometimes I'll just throw it in a thermos and drive around Seattle angrily because the traffic. it'll drink it and it'll be great.
Maybe you should drink a gava oolong when you drive around.
Yeah.
Calm down.
I know, I won't be speeding anymore.
You'll make it really chill. Turn up to some reggae music and just like shake your body a little bit in the traffic. Cool, excellent session. Excellent autumn tea. Very enjoyable tea. Minty. Sweet potato.
Buy it before I buy all of it. I am sizing up that giant bag on the shelf.
Super fun.
It's like bigger than like a large PC tower.
but not that I want to upsell any tea to anybody here today. If you ever find a good crop of tea that you enjoy and you feel like the season is better than the others, do stock it up a little bit, because mm-hmm. it might take a while for that weather condition to appear or the person to find it, etc., etc. Nowadays, we are doing that kind of approach with some of our teachers' tea in Taiwan, that when we find a specific tea we really like, we just have to take out more credit cards and try to buy up those teas, because sometimes it just, the same style of tea wouldn't come by.
I mean, that's what we did this trip in August.
I know. Mm-hmm.
We also kind of went crazy.
I'm still in debt.
And like the white tea and the black teas that were, I mean, because it's not every season that a high mountain black tea is really excellent.
It's that good.
Mm-hmm. When it shows up, it's
year,
like,
it feels like the quality, generally speaking, is really good. So I just buy a larger quantity.
Yeah.
And for the personal usage, one's the same. You know, like, oh, wow, this one really speaks out to me. I don't have the budget, but still tough it out and buy, because the thing is, I don't want to regret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because a lot of teas you turn around, you know, you bought a little bit and really love it. And you turn around and say, hey, do you have more of this tea? Oh, no, so I'll, whoops. You know, yeah. So... yeah, they kind of...
I think like the phrase is you find something good and you hit it with a hammer. Mr. Marshallin, at least for poor drinking.
Oh, people did you say that?
Yeah. You hit it with a hammer, go hard and buy a lot.
Don't go hard and buy a lot.
I felt it took me like a few years of tea drinking to kind of know. Because mm-hmm. I think as a noob, you're like, oh yeah, I really like this. I should tong it. Then mm-hmm. I found as I go on, my tastes change and now mm-hmm. a bit more experience and know, okay, this is good. I've had this tea for... since 2016, I know kind of the trends, and if this is a good year, I'm going to go crazy.
And you can start to see potential a little bit more once you have a little bit of experience sure. over mm-hmm. the years.
But if you have experience with that, a lot of the teas that you are drinking, what tea can go longer, what tea can go shorter, then use your own speed of tea drinking. Like, I'm not trying to tell you like, oh, just like buy a lot of the teas that will go out of the freshness in the next 2 months. Then those teas, I would say, if you want to like enjoy it in the next 2 months every day, then buy up that much, but don't buy more than that. You know, mm-hmm. so you don't have too much teas that's sitting at your home and say, oh, this one open it stale, that one open it stale, that one open it stale. Oh my God. Yeah, a lot of my teas are stale, you know. You are the one who can, you know, judge your own speed, what kind of tea you are drinking. Because nowadays I'm drinking a lot of teas that in the next 2 years, the teas are going to be just fine. And also I have roasters here to touch them up.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to store up those teas, I feel it's gonna be just fine. But if you don't have the capacity to do that with the lighter teas that you don't think that it's gonna age well, then I would say just judge how much you can drink.
Mm.
I guess especially for this tea, like I don't know if you maybe try the 2017 to see if you like that aged taste compared to this.
Yeah.
And say, okay, I like this fresh. You'll just buy enough to drink this year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you like it more of that darker age, oh, okay, stock up.
Stock up, yeah.
Before Owl buys all of it.
Our tea colleague, Oolong Owl, has a wonderful tea blog.
Yay.
And then she published it very, very good. She published it once a week. Am I correct?
Once or twice a week.
Whoa. You guys should look at my blog. That's almost like...
It's been years, I think.
Yeah, okay. It has been years that without any activity. Even while I was working on it at that time, it's that once a while I will randomly publish something. And so I know it take a lot of work for a lot of my tea colleagues out there to publish anything regularly, including myself. So go support. So it's the
OolongOwl.com.
OolongOwl.com.
And I'm on Facebook, Instagram, the Twitters.
Yeah, all the
good stuff. Twitter?
Yeah.
all the good and bad stuff.
Exactly. Don't tell you how much I check my Twitter, but I am on Twitter.
Cool. Yeah. Pleasant session. Yes, we are all very hungry right now.
Yeah.
So we are going to close this session, and thank you for listening, and thank you, Oolong Owl, for coming all the way to the floating leaf tea.
Yeah, yay! Thanks for having me.
Yay.
We'll do this a little bit more, and listen to our podcast. Force all your friends and family to listen to the podcast to support us, and the more direct way to support us is to shop at floatingleaf.com. Happy tea drinking. We'll see you next Monday.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.